Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Monique Coven. I'm a certified trauma recovery coach, and this podcast is all about hope and recovery. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. So today I have with me once again psychotherapist Laura Anderson. And Laura has been on the podcast before, and she recently wrote a post on Instagram that was really got me thinking. It was about body grief, and I thought it would be great to have her on the podcast and to explore that topic in a little bit more detail, because when it comes to trauma and the ways in which our body expresses it is something that is not talked about that much. So I really liked my conversation with her, and I hope that you'll find parts of it that resonate and that is and will be helpful in your own trauma recovery journey. Laura?
Hi, Monique. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's a delight to be here.
I'm so glad to have you back.
Yeah.
So I was really inspired by one of your posts on Instagram. You write such great stuff. And this, you're welcome. And this one, sorry, that's my dog. I'm experimenting okay. with giving him a bone while I record, because I really like having him here, but there's been times where he interrupts. So yes. I just gave him a bone, and I think it was a little bit too big for him. But so
I love it.
Yes, I was talking about that wonderful post that you shared, and it was the topic was about body grief, but not body grief in relation to what people might think. I mean, right away when I say body grief, I'm thinking body grief. I'm thinking, are they talking about dieting? No. This is in relation to trauma. I was wondering if you could, like, what inspired you to write that post? And I don't know if you have it with you.
I did take a screenshot of it before we jumped on the call here. So yes, I do have it.
Would you like to read it?
Sure, I can just pull it up here. And basically, you know, what I had just said in the post, in the little meme, was that healing from trauma may include needing to grieve the way that your body externalized what happened to you. And what I said underneath that was that our bodies have a unique way of dealing with trauma, both internally and externally. For me, the symptoms of trauma have been everything from GI issues to isolation, extreme weight gain, to so much more. I used to allow my confusion for what was happening to me turn into hatred and shame and turn it back on myself. On top of all the distress from symptoms, I could not find any reason to be okay with how my body was dealing with what had happened to me. What I came to realize, however, is that part of the healing trauma may include grieving over how our body externalized what happened to you. There's a huge difference between celebrating the specifics of how your body, quote unquote, wears your trauma and extending compassion to know that not only was your body trying to help keep you safe, but it is actually okay to be angry at what happened and the way it continues to live on inside you and around you. Acceptance of the way that our bodies externalize what happened to us is the notion that we can be both not like or be okay with it and feel what we need to feel without resisting it. Truth be told, I still feel a lot of anger at the ways my body externalized what happened to me. Grief, however, has given me the space to feel what I need to feel and also move forward in a way that feels right to me. And then I pose the question, what are the ways that you may need to grieve the way your body externalized what happened to you? So yeah, that was the post that I had written about.
It's such a body grief. It's such a fantastic approach post, because yes, like our bodies do take on and express trauma. So I thought we could talk more about that. So what inspired you to post that?
This might sound really weird, but I really love the concept of grieving. It feels so, when we're talking about trauma, it feels so relevant. This process of allowing yourself to see things for how they truly are and allow the emotion to come and get to a place of acceptance. Acceptance not meaning we were okay with what happened, but that what happened happened, and it's okay to feel how we want to feel, and we give ourselves these moments to feel that and then move forward into whatever the next moment is. And so for me personally, I've talked a lot about the different impacts of my own trauma, both internally and externally and relationally and all the things. But I started to get to this point where I was very aware of how my body had held on to trauma in some very physical ways. Like I said, there, like GI issues, extreme weight gain, into psychological things too, social phobias, anxiety, panic. And I realized at some point, gosh, while I know that this was my body's way of trying to protect me and keep me safe, I also lost a lot. There's also a lot of sadness that goes along with the fact that my body even felt the need to have to gain weight as a way of protection. I feel very sad about that. And I don't mean that in a body shaming way, because it's not about the size. For me at least, it's not about my body size as much as it is about my body feeling like the only way that I could stay safe was to essentially armor up and gain a layer of protection. And so that was kind of a little bit of my own story that inspired this post of recognizing I might need to let myself be angry, not necessarily at like my body size, but how my body had to gain that weight or develop different issues as a way of protection. And it's okay to feel sad and angry about that, and to really grieve it the same way that I would any other loss.
Yes. I mean, all those things that you touched on, how the body can hold and protect us. It can also cause us additional pain on top of the pain that we're already suffering. So yes.
It's a lot. It's one more layer. And I think that it's not uncommon, and this is maybe a different conversation for a different day, but it's not uncommon that when our bodies do kind of externally manifest symptoms as a result of trauma, we tend to focus on those symptoms exclusively without the trauma. So I know for me, there was a long time where, well, if I could just kind of release this weight that my body has packed on, that would be an indication of healing, or I could move in a different direction because this seems to be so much. When in reality, it's usually the reverse that needs to happen, that the trauma is what needs to be dealt with. And then sometimes those physical symptoms can alleviate themselves. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes we are impacted for the rest of our lives in a very physical way, which is also part of that grieving process. But this recognition that trauma has a physiological and physical external impact is something that isn't always talked about.
It's not. It's not. And I mean, and I think it's starting to be spoken about. I mean, you hear so many people who say, I ran to this doctor about this and about that and about this and about that. And then I realized, it's trauma. It's trauma that's underneath all of that. And once, yeah. And so they're addressing, I eliminated everything from my diet.
I feel that.
And yeah, exactly. And yet I still have this. Or even another thing that's coming to my mind is that, I'm presenting to the doctor, I have all these anxious symptoms, and I'm given a bottle of pills. I'm not saying that pills don't help, but I'm talking about what's underneath, the trauma. And that the, yeah, so it's really like, the body keeps the score.
Well, for sure. I mean, I for my own story, gosh, if I don't even want to calculate the amount of dollars or time that I spent going from, healer to healer, doctor to doctor. You know, like I can look at lists of symptoms. You know, one story that I often tell people is my body was presenting all of, like, literally every single symptom for hypothyroidism. And my blood levels, like when they do the blood test for thyroid disorders, my blood levels were bordering hyperthyroidism. And so
Oh,
it's
wow.
just interesting that my body was externally manifesting something that looked like one thing, and in reality, it was not anything having to do with my thyroid. It was trauma. And I've had that with a lot of different things where I thought, gosh, maybe it's this disease or it's this. And I'm certainly not saying don't go to the doctor, or like you said, you know, that medicine can't be helpful, because I am a believer that all of that can be incredibly helpful. But like you said, I have found so many times that it's often when we have trauma, and we address the trauma, some of that physical stuff will tend to either absolve itself, alleviate itself, or the symptoms become far more manageable. Not all the time, but sometimes.
And I've shared, I think I've shared on this podcast, I had I think I two times where my it was during the really like that I can remember the really stressful times. And then all of a sudden I had hives all over the place and I was swelling and getting, rings cut off of my fingers 'cause they would blow up like balloons and nobody, even including myself, figuring out like what was going on with that. And then another time I had a surgery and the stitches just busted right completely open because my body was like, I can't heal in this condition. And I've had lots of surgeries after that. Never had a problem with healing. So,
It's
yes,
our
yeah.
bodies, like you said, our bodies keep the score. That's not just a cliche saying.
Yeah.
That is the actual truth. And that's why I think, you know, going back to that idea of grieving, I think it is, that's an important part of our healing then,
Yeah.
is to be able to not deny that these things have happened, that there are these ailments or symptoms or pains, but that they really did happen, and that it's sad in a lot of cases that our bodies
Yes.
experience that pain, and then we're doing everything they could to survive and potentially pick some really irritating things to do as a survival mechanism. But it really, I think there's something really special to that too, in that it really honors our bodies when we grieve, because we're recognizing in that our bodies are not against us. Our bodies are not trying to harm us or make life miserable. Our bodies really are doing everything that they can to help us survive. And sometimes it doesn't cognitively make sense to us, but when we can allow ourselves to say, you know what, no, this is what happened, and I'm so sad. I'm angry that this is what happened. I'm going to allow myself to grieve that. I think it really honors the way that our bodies try to protect us.
So you're saying, to feel the anger or the sadness at what was lost from the body, from the experience of what the body has had to go through?
I think that's definitely part of it. You know, when I think about my own process of grieving, there's a deep sense of sadness, you know, that wow, like these are some really extreme circumstances that my body felt wildly unsafe in, and as a result, she needed to do something. And I do feel a lot of anger too, rightfully so, because when I see this is what was happening and my body acted in this way to protect me, it's like, are you kidding me? Like that, like somebody thought it was okay to do that or to say that, or that I had to be in that circumstance. And there's something really powerful about being able to hold that anger in that grieving space that lets us know that the thing that happened to us was not okay. So that's an important part of honoring this, the what our bodies are doing, because our bodies need to know, like, oh yeah, no, you see it too. It wasn't okay. And so yeah, anger and sadness, huge, huge pieces of it. And then that acceptance piece of grieving, Like I said earlier, a lot of people will say, acceptance is like, oh, I'm fine with it. I'm good with it. And I don't think that's what acceptance is. I think it's recognizing, this is what happened. We never have to love that, your body responded in this way, but we can invite a sense of, I guess, okayness or good enoughness to say, ugh, this is how they chose and my body chose to respond to this. And there may be a point where I don't have to deal with that anymore because my body no longer has a use for that symptom or that illness or whatnot. And that's great. And there's other things where trauma can really have a physiological impact that is the rest of my life. And there's grief that goes with that too, in that acceptance process of because these things happened, my body is forever altered. And it's okay to be upset about that. It's okay to be angry or sad or wish that it had never happened. That's all a part of that acceptance piece within grieving.
And does grieving something mean it'll go back to normal the way it
I
was?
wish. I think in some cases, yes. I look at, for instance, I said I had a lot of GI, like digestive issues, and that came out in a lot of different ways, whether it was, getting really sick with certain foods or being unable to pass certain foods through me or and these sorts of things. And the more that I worked on my trauma, those things I haven't really changed a whole lot in my diet, but those things have kind of alleviated themselves. I don't really have as many GI issues. Now, if I eat foods that I'm allergic to, I have GI issues. If I don't, then I'm pretty good. And so I go there are a lot of cases where once that underlying trauma is dealt with, where we're not holding that stress in our body anymore, then our body is able to perform or function at what might be considered a quote unquote normal way. But I also know that there's, more research coming out that talks about the correlation between trauma and autoimmune diseases. Those don't just go away. We might deal with the trauma and have actually resolved it and come to a place of, growth and we still have to deal with some of those things. So maybe the symptoms aren't as severe, maybe they are. I can't say that, oh, if we grieve this, then it is going to go away. I think that is the case in some cases, but I think, part of it is realizing there may be some things that we're dealing with for on a long-term basis because of the things that have happened to us. And that's worth grieving also, maybe many, many times, allowing yourself to be angry. We're not getting stuck in that anger. We're not getting stuck in that sadness, but we're saying it is okay to be really upset that this is the result of what happened to me.
So how do we grieve the ways our body has stored our trauma?
That's such a good question. I think like anything, with any grieving, there is first like that recognition of this is what happened. And I know that sounds so simple or so cliche, but yet I think it's important. And I think the example I can use is like, I said I had an extreme amount of weight gain in relation to trauma. And I thought it was everything except trauma. And so I would do all the cleanses and I would, try all the elimination diets and all these things. And it wasn't until I like started working on my trauma that I was like, oh, this is how my body has manifested. And it sounds so simple, like I should have quote unquote been able to see that, but I wasn't able to. And so really the first step I think is allowing yourself even permission to consider how some of those physical or physiological symptoms are connected to trauma or how they are exacerbated by trauma. And that doesn't eliminate the symptom overnight by any stretch of the imagination usually, but it might start to eliminate the shame around it. And when we can start to not only see well, this is the connection, but then developing a bit of compassion around it. Like I've said, like, oh, this is what my body did in order to protect me or to keep me safe, or this is how my body managed the stress of what was happening to me. And rather than shaming myself or hating myself for that, I could maybe offer compassion. It starts to like open up some space, I guess is the way I would say it, to be able to allow some of that pain or emotion to kind of come up and wash through us in a way, which is, you know, that grieving process, and to be able to release that. And so I don't have necessarily like a step by step, you know, like here's the 5 steps of grieving, and this is how you must go through it with your body. I look at it more as like a circular process where things come up and we just deal with them in layers. But I think that the best way to start is actually giving yourself permission to be honest and accurate about what it was that happened and how your body navigated that, letting yourself see it for what it truly is. And I think that can be a great place
I
to
don't know.
start.
Would you be comfortable sharing? Maybe, you talked about realizing for yourself about some of the
Yeah.
weight that you were carrying and how it was related to trauma. How you yourself maybe started the process of grieving that.
Yeah. So I think what I said earlier of kind of even just that aha moment of, oh, here's this connection here. It definitely took some time to develop some compassion, because I was able to clearly see how the weight had altered my life in certain ways, whether it was feeling comfortable in my own skin or how I acted in social settings or whatever. And so I had to spend a lot of time really developing that sense of compassion. I had it in other areas of my life, and so I knew I could. But there was a bit of like kind of wrestling through of like, well, if I'm compassionate towards myself, does that just mean that this is how it's going to be forever? And I really had to, in a way, give myself permission to say it could be like it could be, and I, and would it be okay to focus on healing? And if that part resolves itself, great. And if not, I'll keep working on acceptance. And truth be told, you know, it's still a process, but I do have a relationship with my body and the weight that I've gained. I don't like the weight that I've gained because it does represent some awful things that happened, but I do not hate my body at all. I very much appreciate and have a sense of tenderness towards myself to go, you know, I would really like this to be gone someday, but I'm not going to make that the focus of my healing. If it's still there, it means that there's other stuff that needs to be healed. And when my body feels safe enough to be able to release that and to let that go, I think she will. So I don't know. Does that answer that question? Yeah.
It does, it does. And I was thinking about like you were talking about weight as perhaps like an armor, and I was thinking about it also, many people they maybe struggle with overeating or binging, and I was thinking about how, especially if we have attachment issues, that might be a way that we've learned to comfort ourselves. And so, even having some compassion about that, oh my goodness, trying to comfort yourself, even though it's harmful, just like understanding the need
Yes.
underneath that, like,
All right, I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Jeanine Roth. Yes.
Of
I mean,
course.
she was a pioneer before we even knew that we needed her. Her work is unbelievable, but it speaks to just that, this idea of our body often holds weight, or you could put any other symptom in there. And while we need to, you know, pay attention to the symptom in terms of, you know, managing it to making sure that we're healthy, like that we're physically healthy, you know, she would say, whether it's weight or anything else, of going, once we start to address the root cause of of what's going on and how that actually is kind of playing out in your daily life. So you use the concept of like overeating. What is the purpose that that's serving? Is it to give comfort?
Right.
Is it to distract? Is it to give a moment of relief or instant gratification when my life is really stressful and hard? What were the messages that I was taught about this? And when we can start to address some of those underlying issues, her theory, and I would tend to agree with this, is that again, then those kind of physiological or physical symptoms may just start to resolve themselves without all this grueling effort and quote unquote fixing of oneself. But that when you go to the root issues, attachment, trauma, stress, that's where the healing can happen. And then we start to see it play out in multiple areas in our lives.
And I was just thinking, just understanding just what our body is doing. And in that case, it's the message, it's trying to get comfort somehow, and it's trying to help us feel safe. Maybe not in such a helpful way if we're not physiologically hungry, but the point is that it's doing its best to make us feel comforted.
Well, you know,
So, yeah.
I think it was the last time that you and I talked, we talked a bit about internal family systems, the parts work. And you know, one of the concepts in internal family systems is that we oftentimes have these protecting parts of us that oftentimes kind of act in these really maybe bizarre or extreme ways. And we're like, gosh, why do I always do that? Or why is this my go-to or whatnot? And when we kind of peel the layers back, we realize that that part is trying to do a job, and it's usually to keep us alive somehow or to keep us from getting hurt. And it was never that part's job to have to go to that extreme, but that part has learned over time, I need to do this in order to stay safe. And so when we work on those parts and kind of getting them to a place where they know it's safe enough to not have to do those things anymore, then they can go back to doing their normal jobs of, you know, managing the day-to-day lives. And I think that can be true with a lot of these symptoms, is that the symptoms are somehow a way of protecting us, even if they don't make cognitive sense. Somewhere along the way, our body decided this is the only thing I have at my disposal to keep me alive or to keep me safe. And so I have to do this. And so that again, when I think of that, I go, oh, there's so much gratitude and compassion I have then. I may not like what this is, how this manifests in myself, but oh my gosh, like the fact that there was this protective mechanism that was in place to keep me safe. I can have compassion towards that. And sometimes that's the door open, like the step that we can take into it to start having a different response and really grieving the ways that our bodies have had to contort themselves in order to stay safe in some really unsafe circumstances.
I'm also thinking about, because I know this was for me and for a lot of the people I speak with, a lot of times people can be very angry at, let's say, the activation that they feel chronically in their bodies, and that's preventing them from, doing the kinds of things they want to do with more ease. And they get angry and they feel frustrated, and they could turn it on themselves. And as you were speaking, and even with this topic, I was thinking about, and your body learned really, really well how to be on the lookout for cues of danger, and it's still trying to keep you
Yeah,
safe.
I don't think I could say that better myself. I completely agree with that. And you know, it is easy to go to hate or anger or frustration or irritation. And it does take work to reframe that or shift that into compassion or gratitude. Because they really are like obnoxious things that are happening, you know, when we get activated over something that's on the surface seems really non-threatening, it can be really, really obnoxious and annoying or embarrassing or shameful. And so it is really hard in that moment to shift into a space of compassion. And I definitely not saying that it's easy, just kind of suggesting that when we can even start to notice, like, oh, I'm really struggling right now with my body. I am moving into a place of hate or shame or berating myself or whatever. Even starting to just notice that, I think can be really helpful. It starts to break up that really subconscious pattern that really actually fuels the activation. It doesn't really give us access to a lot of resources to bring us back down to a regulated space. So even just starting to notice, and if we can't notice in the moment, then maybe we can notice after we start to feel
After.
just a little bit safer or a little bit calmer. So it's a kind of backing it up a little bit, is the way I would put that.
And also the other thing about grief that was coming to my mind is a lot of people are grieving how some PTSD symptoms in their body, when they're activated or when they're depleted and exhausted, have taken away maybe some of their dreams, maybe some of their desires. And I think there's a grieving process for that as well that we really need to acknowledge because it's a real thing for people. What they feel like they really missed out. I want to encourage and say it's not over yet, but let's acknowledge that's a real
I think,
thing.
yeah, what you're saying there is this idea of like when we can allow ourselves to be accurate and honest about what happened. I think that does start to sometimes take away the shame. And it could be that, gosh, my PTSD triggers that look like X, Y, or Z have really hindered me from staying in relationships or being able to maintain a job or travel the world or whatever. There is grieving that goes along with it. It doesn't mean that we couldn't have those things in the future, but I think it's absolutely appropriate to be able to say, this has hindered me. This has held me back in some pretty key areas. And I can live in the resentment of that, and really mad and pissed off and kind of simmering in that. Or I can be honest and accurate and grieve that, and maybe what that acceptance piece looks like then is creating new dreams or new ways to achieve old goals or desires or working towards something different. But I think it all starts with that really it's that denial piece or looking at the denial. And really seeing it, oh, this is what happened. This is how it's connected. And my body's really having a hard time right now.
So I love that because I find that it's like it's many people are just feeling it and then they're shoving it away and they're just moving forward, just keep going. And I thought it was really good to bring it up into the open and talk about that and talk about the grief and
Yeah.
yeah.
Trauma takes
That's a
over all areas of life. I think
does.
that,
It does.
we're living kind of in a day and age where I think there's a lot more education and openness to be able to talk about trauma, what it actually is, how to treat it. And I'm so incredibly glad. But I think there really is still a lot of stigma around, oh, it's just depression or anxiety, or it's not happening now, so you should get over it. And even if we cognitively know, because maybe we follow some really great people on Instagram that talk about trauma in a different way, I think there is still kind of some ingrained societal messages of, I should be able to get over this. This shouldn't be that big of a deal. I don't know why I can't do this. A lot of shame. And so when we can just kind of bring that out into the open and start recognizing some of these correlations and that this is not something that's broken within me, I'm just stuck because of these things that have happened. It really does then at least start to open up some access to healing and moving forward and actually living again, like living in a really wholehearted way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love
Oh,
this
me too.
conversation, Laura. Thank you. Is there anything else before we end
Gosh,
that
I
you want to
don't
share?
know. I think we kind of hit all the different points, but yeah, I really appreciate you just having this platform to be able to talk about this. I know this was definitely a post that resonated with a lot of people, and I'm all for kind of pushing the envelope a little bit and just kind of introducing some new ideas that people don't talk about, because truth be told, I wanted people to be talking about this when I was really in the thick of my own trauma healing. And so I feel like it can be a gift that all of us are giving to other people to just kind of normalize some of these things and bring it out into the open. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. So, how can people
Yeah.
follow you on Instagram? Like, what's your handle and what's your website in case people want
Yeah.
to get in touch
Well,
with
I am
you?
most active on Instagram in terms of social media. So, Laura Anderson Therapy is my handle. And that's also my website too, just lauraandersontherapy.com. I do have a bit of a waiting list in terms of people working with me. The pandemic has kind of blown everything up. And for a lot of therapists and
Oh, yeah.
coaches and anybody in the helping industry, we're all kind of seeing this influx of people. So I do have a waiting list, but you're welcome. People are welcome to jump on that. But I also have a lot of resources on my website as well. Books, podcasts, other people's websites, that I try to keep those there
Great.
for people that are just looking for some added resources. So Laura Anderson Therapy website, Instagram handle, and that's where people can find me. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Have a great
Okay,
rest of the
thank
day,
you.
Monique.
What can trauma recovery coaching offer? It can offer a safe place to feel supported and encouraged. You'll also learn about your nervous system and how to feel more regulated through the practice of somatic tools to regulate your nervous system. You'll learn the importance of boundaries, and you will learn about inner child work, self-compassion, how to deal with those feelings of stuckness, and so much more. To find out more about my trauma recovery coaching options, you can reach me on my website at www.cptsdcoach.com. You can also visit me on Instagram and Facebook at CPTSD Coach.